Yo, 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 everybody. Welcome to episode 56 of Value Town, a podcast and talk show that we do each and every week about Hearthstone. I'm Chan Man V, joined today by my co-host Ray Nad, and our guest, our first time guest, Orange from Team Archon. How you doing, Orange?
I'm doing good. Just woke up, a little bit tired, but excited to be on the show.
Awesome, man. Ray, how you doing, man? Got the fly tempo storm hat on. Like it?
Everyone makes fun of me when I wear the hat, man. I'm doing good. I just woke up and I haven't had a chance to take a shower yet, so we're using the hat right now.
Cool. Well, lots of stuff to talk about, lots of interesting decks, particularly a Murloc deck that we've been seeing this week. So we'll be talking about, obviously, decks like we do each and every week. We're going to be doing Tink My Deck also. And then we'll have some Q&A at the end of the show. No call-ins this week, guys. My screener's not here this week, and last week it didn't go too well. So we're going to go back to the old poster questions on this link right here, and we'll read them out at the end of the show. But before we start, I just wanted to quick update on, I guess, the holiday is coming up and what we're going to be doing. So next week's going to be our holiday episode. And got a few special things planned out for that. We're going to be doing some fun giveaways. We're just going to have a fun show. And we'll have a member of Team 5 on with us just to hang out, maybe just do a quick look back at 2015, some of our favorite things, favorite moments, you know, maybe some of our favorite decks and things like that. But really just a cool laid back episode. And again, we want to do some giveaways with you guys. I'll be doing giveaways with the Value Town Patreons too, but probably not on the show. I'll probably do it outside of the show just because not everybody watching is a patron, of course. So, but lots of cool things planned, Hearthstone giveaways and all and whatnot. But let's get started. First thing, let's talk about, let's just talk about the meta talk. And the meta snapshot came out earlier, or maybe late last week. I think it was late last week, actually. And figured we'd take a look at it. We haven't talked about the meta snapshot in a while, but it is some interesting times right now. If you go to Team Tempo Storm here, here's the link, guys. Check this out.
Yep, got it.
All right, sending it to the chat too. But yeah, let's talk about it. So tier one, let's just go ahead and click on tier one. We got the Aggro Shaman, the Midrange Paladin, Secret Paladin, Midrange Druid. Actually, let's just do Tier 1 and Tier 2 kind of together because there might be some you know, opinions, I guess, on maybe what should be in Tier 1 and Tier 2. So thoughts right now. Raynan, I'm guessing that you agree completely with this list given it's the Tempo Storm list.
Pretty much. I mean, tier two is really big, but that's just because the meta hasn't settled yet. But yeah, after that first day I played Aggro Shaman, I was pretty convinced it was the best deck, like for laddering at least. Mm-hmm. And my list wasn't even the best one. So I think that I definitely agree with it being on top. I still don't know about like mid-range Druid being tier one or mid-range Paladin being tier one. But I guess, like, I think like everything outside of Secret Paladin and Aggro Shaman is very close. Like all the decks are very similar power level. So
right, or just on the brink of tier one and tier, or somewhere between tier one and tier two.
Yeah, like I wouldn't put Demon Zoo at tier two right now. I think like Dragon Warlock's probably better. But it's on there. Malilock's on.
Yeah,
it is above Demon Zoo. All right, cool. Yeah. So, this is pretty close to where I would rank the decks.
Okay. Yeah. Orange, what do you think?
I agree with most of the things. Just as Reynard said, I'm not sure if I agree that the Midrange Paladin and Midrange Druid should be in tier one at the moment. I think this list. This meta snapshot was done a couple of days ago, right? A few days ago, yeah. And if so, like we've seen in the last couple of days on both EU and NA ladder, actually, we've seen a huge upswing of Rogue. It's it's ranked as tier 2 in this deck, but I actually think that the Rogue is getting back to its tier 1 spot just because that's like it's hold both rank 1 on NA and EU for like until Crane took it on EU a couple of days ago. It's been rank 1 on both servers. It has performed really well for me. I played in both tournaments and ladder a lot lately. So I think that that list, if not Taiwan already, it might be there very soon. I also think that like one of the either Aggro Druid or Patron Warrior deserves to be Taiwan. I definitely think that Aggro Druid is actually better than Midrange Druid on the ladder at the moment.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, Aggro Druid's really strong right now. I've seen a lot of it too.
Yeah, only thing that Midrange Druid got over Aggro Druid at the moment, in my opinion, is that Midrange Druid has a higher win rate against Phase Shaman. But other than that, I think that like Aggro Druid just performs way better against the meta at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also seeing like how Oil Rogue, Aggro Druid, even Patron is like performing really well in Phase Shaman. Like, I don't think that Secret Paladin is all that good on ladder, like right at this moment. Might be crazy to say, but I don't think that Paladin is that well positioned.
It's definitely an interesting time right now in ladder. I mean, you're seeing a lot of different decks, but I definitely agree with those decks being moved up. So the Oil Rogue, I mean, actually most of these decks, Patron, Oil, there's no tweaks or there's no changes from the cards that were released this week. We're talking like the standard ones, right? Or at least Oil Rogue, it's the standard Oil Rogue.
Yeah.
No new cards actually at all, right?
Yeah, I know that the list that's been doing really well on EU and NA ladder has been Mr. Yagut's Oil Rogue list with one Boom, one Belcher, and one Tinkeroid.
Yeah, and he finished number one in EU, right? So
yeah, exactly, really well. And no new card additions whatsoever.
That's funny. Of course, with the Patron Warrior, we're going to actually be taking a look at a Patron Warrior a little bit later here. But same deal, right? Just basically the last incarnation of Patron Warrior is what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's been some interesting tweaks to Patron lately, but yeah. Basic Patron does the trick too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think somebody tried like Finley and Patron, but they got rank one, and I think they said Finley's like probably shouldn't be in the deck, but yeah. They still got rank one with it. So it's kind of interesting.
But yeah, what'd they replace?
That's such a frustrating question. How do you expect that question to be answered? I get that in chat so often. Like, in order to answer what got replaced, I would have to know the exact 30-card list you have in mind.
I thought you did know the list. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. But it's like if I say, oh, you cut Cruel Taskmaster, and then you look at your patron deck, and you're like, well, I don't even play Cruel Taskmaster. And then it's like...
the latest incarnation of patron with, you know, just the normal end game cards too, right? Added.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are all still there.
Yeah.
I think it's I don't know. I know there's one Finley. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I think Lofib is not there anymore. It's been pretty standard in Patron as of late since 6.0 made it popular. But
not having Lofib, okay. Yeah, I guess you don't have. You don't need it against like.
That's the one card I can see missing at least, that I think that most people have been playing. But I don't know. Just as Raynard said, that's pretty hard to tell.
Yeah. Midrange Paladin. There's so many Paladins now. And anything's not even on. The Murloc one's not even on here. Where do you think the Murloc one falls, guys?
I mean, the only time I played that deck was like. Okay, the set came out, and the first thing I did was build like. Every iteration of any Finn that I could possibly come up with. And after playing for like 2 hours, I just felt like normal mid-range Paladin was just a lot better than the any Finn one.
Yeah.
So I would place it at like tier 4, but maybe I'm wrong and it's actually better than that. I don't think it is, but maybe
tier 4? Wow, okay. I think
I got the exact same feeling as you did. I tried playing it yesterday because I knew we would discuss it here on Value Town.
Yeah.
So just tried it out, and every single game, like where I did stuff that Midrange Paladin does. I felt like I won. Like, anytime I tried to get cute with Murlocs, like, that was just not strong enough. So, like, I'm going to look really stupid when that deck becomes the new Secret Paladin, but I agree with you, Reynard. I think it's, like, I don't think it's a very good deck and just a cute thing that people want to make work.
Yeah, just a gimmicky deck.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we... That's probably a good transition just to go ahead and talk about some of the decks that we were planning. And given that this Anything Can Happen card was released this week, and everybody, I think, in the community has been trying to... Every streamer, every player has been trying to come up with a cool deck. We picked two of them here. Actually, let me link Dog's version again here. We basically, Tice's version and Dog's version... We felt like would have been interesting to take a look at, but let me grab Dog's version. I didn't actually make sure I have it for Ray here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is Ray not? Ray, do you have the Dog version here? Here we go. It's right here. Let me just give it to you. I have to link it in the notes here. Here we go. Let me bring up the card view for the viewers here. So the left one on the screen right now is Tice's version, and the right one is Dog's version. And you can kind of see the difference. The left one is more of a mid-range paladin that just has all the Anything Can Happen cards mixed in, or at least the bare minimum, which is, I believe, five Murloc cards, that is. And Dog's version is quite different. Looks more like a OTK only type of deck versus a mid-range deck that adds some Murloc and win conditions to it. What do you guys think about this deck, just looking at it? I'm not sure if you guys have gotten a chance to play anything like these decks, but first glance, what do you think?
On paper, it looks like it would work. And then in practice, you draw 3-mana 3/3s and like die because they're not real cards. I think... Yeah, man, it works, right? The deck works, and I get the idea behind it, but it's just, like, it just feels weaker, I guess. Some games you're playing against Hunter, and you, like, really need to draw a good curve, or you really need to... Or, like, you're playing against Aggro Shaman, and you need to be able to interact and have healing and all these things, and it's, like, when you draw Murlocs, it just makes it so hard to win. It's interesting that they cut Grimscale Oracle. I really like that. So maybe, well, at least Dog did. So maybe that's what I was doing wrong. But Tyze is still playing it. Well, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but Tyze threw in that Zombie Chow, kind of to your point, though. You need some kind of presence like early on against those faster decks, or you just get run over. Orange, what do you think?
I actually tried both lists out yesterday, and I have to say that I like Asa. As a Murloc deck, as an Anything deck, I like Dog's list way more. I guess I like Tai's list more because it's more like Midrange Paladin, which I think is just a better deck. But as an Anything list, I like Dog's list way more. It just, he has like a lot of ways to stall the game. He has the double lay on hands, which I think is super crucial for the deck if you cut the Grimscale Oracles. Mm-hmm. So the plan is, I may just be dumb, but it took me some time to get this, that like with Dog's deck, the plan is not to OTK them with the first Anything, but like what you do is that you like have like three or so Murlocs die, you stall the game until the point where you cast the first Anything. You clear the board with the first Anything because you get some Blue Jills or Murk Ice pack, and then with the second Anything, you get back like multiple copies of it. If you had like two War Leaders die, you will get four War Leaders back from the second one, and that is definitely an OTK. Like they die from that almost 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And I actually saw, I was watching Dog's stream before I fell asleep yesterday, and I fell asleep when he was ranked 14 legend with the deck or something. So like he is the person that makes me doubt myself that when I'm saying that this deck is not very good, because he's actually performing really well with it. But Tai's list just felt a lot more like just a mid-range paladin, and I even like played a game where I went to like almost fatigue against Patron Warrior somehow, and I didn't even win when I cast my Anything. Like I could just put him down to like five or whatever, and then I died on the backswing. Like if that's what happens when you play an Anything deck and you're almost in fatigue, I don't know. It doesn't seem all that powerful to me.
Well, to put it out there too, the Tice's deck, he got to rank 5 at one point with it too.
Yeah, I know. I'm
how early in the season was that? Like, at what point in the season? It was getting ranked 5 after the 15th is impressive, but
yeah, I mean, it was probably a couple days at least before Dog's version. So
okay, so there were probably 20 legends,
maybe something like that. Let me see what the equivalent posted. Let me see. The date is December 8th. So it wasn't posted that long ago. So
it wasn't yesterday. He played it before yesterday.
Yeah. So it was posted like 18 hours.
Two or 3 days ago, I think.
Yeah. Let's just say 2 or 3 days ago, which, yeah, there's definitely a lot less legends.
I think this rank was the equivalent of having rank 300 or 400 legend at the end of the month.
Okay.
So it's it's passable, but it's not I wouldn't call that an impressive showing from the deck.
Yeah. Sure. No, but go ahead.
No. I was saying that I agree.
I think Dog's version is going in the right direction, though. I like that it just plays less bad cards. Like, Bluegill's a passable removal spell. I think Dog's version could be cleaned up, too, but I would have to play the deck to really know. You know, things like Wild Pyromancer, I understand why they're there, mm-hmm. but the deck might just be better without being so all-in on equality. I'm not sure how. You know, I'd have to play it a lot, but I could see this going in the right direction. I'm not sure about Azurdrake either, but again, this is the card might be really important without having played the deck. It's hard for me to say. Yeah. But the reason I don't like Azurdrake much is because you just don't get too much advantage out of the spell power. You only have one card that works with it, which is Consecration. So you're basically paying a lot of mana for a novice engineer type of effect. So or no mission mentor type of effect. So I think that might be better as Solemn Vigil, second Sludge Belch or something. But it's like the thing, without playing the deck a lot, you can't really make changes like that, you know?
Yeah.
He was throwing out Cult Master instead of, I actually don't remember what he cut, but he was throwing out Cult Master yesterday as extra card draw. I also felt when I looked at the list that this Azurdrake seems a little out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the double A on hats. I think that's something that the list is right.
I think that's core, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get through this entire deck too. So card draw is huge.
What about a summoning portal? Get him.
I think about that for a second. Holy crap, no. Oh man. What do you think about 2 anything can happen in Tice's deck? Like dropping the Grim Scales too. Because I like that. I like that a lot, actually. The fact that you have to get... I mean, there's probably not enough card draw on his, though, compared to Dogs, to get through the deck consistently.
If I do that, I want to add a second Lay on Hands to Tice's list.
Yeah. It starts to change.
But yeah. But then we're just becoming Dogs' list.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Just replaying a little bit of different mid-range game. But yeah, I like that. I really dislike the Grimscale Oracles and just playing one anything.
Wait, is Tyz not playing Tyrion?
No. Neither of them are. Yeah, none of them are playing Tyrion.
Yeah, he dropped Tyrion.
Can't be right.
What?
Yeah.
Is it?
Tyrion is a very powerful card. A very powerful.
Is it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I don't know if you knew, but that part is good.
That's the first thing I would change.
Just throw in the Tyrion.
Yeah, I mean, it wins you the game in half the matchups. It's not even bad against aggro either. I would definitely play it.
Okay.
I don't know. The way I deck build is I just try to fit as many high power level cards in as possible, and then I work the synergy in around those cards. What I don't like doing is playing low power level synergy cards. I guess Cult Master would be the example for these decks. It's it's not bad, but I would look to get the card draw from higher power level cards like Lay on Hands.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay, well, again, there's a lot of different variations of this. I mean, I literally have seen everybody have tweet or something, some kind of version of this. But the prognosis here, well, at least Orange, you said that you're doubting yourself a little bit watching the Dog play as to the power of this deck. It'd be pretty cool if I have to say it'd be pretty neat if we could start seeing this a little bit in competitive, not have it be like the strongest deck. I think that would be terrible. But if it could be just surprise people every once in a while, that would be pretty interesting from a competitive standpoint.
Yeah, it's interesting that there aren't that many tournaments happening right now. I kind of wish there were, because the minigame is really cool. There's so many different decks on ladder. Mm-hmm. Game is against something different. I mean, the stuff I've been playing is like, even if it doesn't have new cards, it's like decks I just hadn't tried before. It's a pretty interesting time as far as the metagame goes.
Well, it's a great time in Hearthstone right now.
I'm preparing for some tournaments, and God, it's like more interesting than ever to do that. It's especially like when tournament organizers are also shaking up the formats, like Lost Understanding or Conquest or stuff like that. And with the new cards, it's just like very hard to prepare for tournaments because there's so much stuff to think about.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
So Finley was Sir Finley Mergleton was the card that we were talking a lot about last week. And I kind of wanted to get your opinions on the impact that you've seen with Sir Finley just after getting a chance to finally add it to cards. Orange, actually, I'll have you talk first since we talked about
Okay, yeah, so Sir Finley is like the card that I thought was probably the most interesting one. I didn't know how good it would be, but like the most interesting one from Entered League of Explorers. Just the fact that like changing your hero power like changes the whole, like one of the core things in Hearthstone that should not be like messed with. Like it just like some classes should not be allowed to have some hero powers, and that's really interesting to me. And we actually seen him have like quite a big impact this week. Like we've seen him being a staple now in the Face Shaman decks, like just because that deck, like it doesn't use his hero power much, but like it wants to have anything but the Shaman hero power. Like for example, like Face Shaman with Hunter hero power has shown to be really strong. We touched on this earlier, but Crane 333 got rank 1 legend with Patron with Sir Finley in it. His reasoning being that, well, the Warrior Hero power is not that good in Patron, and you can do some absurd things if you get, for example, he said to me that he likes the Mage Hero power most, because in the slow matchups, you don't even need your Whirlwind effects. You can just go like turn 7 Patron, ping your Patron to like make Patrons that way, and like a bunch of other things. The Druid Hero power helps you out with your weapons and stuff like that. I had some friends on SK Gaming try out the new Face Paladin deck, the late Sir Finley, where it also did like a lot of work. Like Face Paladin's problem has always been that it can't close out games really, because like their hero power just makes 1/1s, and if your opponent has board control, doesn't provide any additional damage. So you can switch that to Hunter, Druid, like, or Mage. You all of a sudden have a way to close out the game, which was like Paladin's weakness and stuff like that. So yeah.
I was going to say, you mentioned Crane's Patron, so I just kind of brought up Crane's Patron here just to look at real quick. But go ahead and finish your thought. We'll come back to this. We'll come back to talking about
this. Yeah, so I think that Sir Finley might be secretly like one of the most powerful cards, like not only the most interesting card, but one of the most powerful cards in the set, just allowing some classes to change hero power has such a huge impact, which is like it's just a 1-mana 1 free, so like you don't expect much, but like a 1-mana 1 free that can change the entire course of the game is pretty powerful if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely widens the amount of decks that the classes can build now, which I think is cool. At least it's worth compromising the whole class specific, you know, uniqueness, right? So that's definitely been a nice benefit to it all. Ray, I heard about one of the viewers, they were asking to see a Reno Hunter deck that you built with Sir Mergleton, I believe.
Pull that up.
Was that successful for you? That sounds really interesting to me. So,
I mean, it felt like a lot of the other interesting decks that you can build now in that the concept makes sense. You can build the deck and the cards are there to build it, but then you end up playing it and it just feels like slightly less powerful than playing some old linear strategy with old cards.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the feeling I got from a lot of new archetypes. And I think that, like, you know, give it a few weeks, people start like refining the decks that have the higher win percentages, we'll start seeing more of just like gold archetypes because they're just so flexible and good at what they do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Hunter is like, Reno Hunter was one of those decks that almost worked. I mean, it did work. I felt like the slow matchups are hard. Okay, here, I just pulled it up. So let me link it to you.
Yeah, Reno Hunter, the reason I feel like it sounded interesting to me is Hunter was probably the hardest class to make Reno work whenever Reno just first came out. Just because of hero power and everything, you know, just it just didn't make sense, right, to that you would use Reno in that type of deck, and that getting board control outside of just straight, just the linear mid-range type of Hunter, and going more towards a control-oriented Hunter just never made sense. Okay, let me see what this looks like. Oh, wow, it's long. Okay.
I hope so. It's a Reno deck.
It's a Reno deck, so that makes sense. Okay, let me... Reno Hunter. I'll bring it up. While I'm bringing this up, Orange, you want to talk about Crane's Patron real quick, or at least some of the
instances? Is it linked in chat already? Or
it's being shown right now.
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah, on the stream. Crane's Patron is like a bit different. It plays Sir Finley that we already talked about, but also made some other changes. Mm-hmm. Like the one that stands out a lot is that he's playing no Pilot Shredder, but he's playing Horcrown Elite instead, which is just something I really, really like. I actually questioned him at first. Like, Crane is someone I actually talk like quite a lot with and discuss decks with. And I questioned him at first about the Corcoran Elite because Pilot Shredder is just one of my favorite cards. But apparently this is something that him and Life Coach has been talking about, that Pilot Shredder is just this card that like, you don't want to play a Pilot Shredder when you're behind, and like, it's just good to like push your advantage most of the time and not really to stabilize a board. And with all these like fast decks at the moment, like Aggro Shaman, Secret Paladin, Aggro Druid, like, you want your cards to have immediate impact. And Corcoran Elite, like, is not a bad card. It's just been, like, undervalued for a pretty long time. I think so, at least. Mm-hmm. And we see him here trying it out, and it's actually been working really well. As soon as he told me this, that, he replaced the Shredders with Corcoran Elite, I tried it out, and I really, really liked it. One thing that it also does is, like, now post-nerf for Patron, the Frothing Berserkers are a lot less powerful, but being able to go Frothing Berserk into Corcoran Elite and clear their minion or whatever is, like, a very, very powerful play. So I like what he's doing with the Corcoran Elites. About the other thing that stands out is Sir Finley, and they actually told me that, I'm not sure if Sir Finley actually fits in the deck, but hey, dude is adorable. We should play him. But he said if he were to bring the deck to our tournament, like, he would probably not play Finley.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense. Thoughts on this?
Yeah.
Ray?
So,
what do you think of Corcoran?
I've been playing Patreon for the past few months, and I still don't understand why people put Dread Corsair in the deck. It's like, it feels like Iron for a Grizzly that lets me armor up on turn three. Like, I very rarely get to like free roll it on a Battle Rage turn and all that. So I've just cut Dread Corsair from all my lists. That's like the one thing I would change. Also, I really hate Boom just as a card. So I would rather play Lotheb just because it doesn't get big game hunted. And my Boom bots are not very good. But other than that, I really like the Corcoran change. And I think Patron's definitely a high tier one deck. So I would play something boring like Cruel Taskmasters in there. Oh, actually, I would definitely play like one Leroy. That's love that card in Patron. I play it in all my Patron lists.
Leroy. Okay, that's a new one.
Especially in a Corcoran list, it's a lot better. But that's just me personally.
Yeah, that would be more consistent with just basically face damage or...
Yeah, it just gives you a different game plan. They don't really account for the burst damage after you like roll out a Grommash. It's like Grommash number two, and it's just so good at Deathbite and Whirlwind effects and everything. Mm-hmm. Ghoul.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Crane how if we could, with additional Corcorans, if we could make it a bit more aggressive to like support that kind of style. I never really thought of Leroy. That makes sense. I will try that out.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm curious too. I might have to try that out right after this. Okay, let me bring up that Reno deck here. Okay, Reno Hunter. Here we go. The golden deck. That's how I know it's raised. It's all golden. Okay.
Just saying one high main hurts my soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, right? He's got the pilot shredder there.
The first deck was all the first deck had a lot more early game because the early game cards are better, but then I had to like put in bad late game cards so that the curve was like better because the slow matchups are the hard ones. So yeah, I added like Sky Golem, which is not a great card, but it's, you know, sometimes you just need a bad high main.
Okay. I'm just taking a look here too. How do you like Dreadscale?
I don't know. The card is just so good on paper. I figured like if it's ever going to be in a deck, it's probably going to be Reno Hunter.
Yeah.
Explorer's Hat was surprisingly bad. I wanted it to like, you know, replace the Hunter Hero Power basically. So I'd have two cards that replace Hunter Hero Power. But yeah, Hatch didn't do anything. So didn't love that card. I'd probably take that out. Other than that, the rest of the cards made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like I said, like Reno decks are impossible to give feedback on. You look at them and you're like, that's a pile of cards.
This is what I'm trying to do. I'm like, this is a lot of cards to think about.
People always ask me to give feedback on them on stream. It's just like, I mean, it's hard.
Until you play it. What hero power is the best one for this deck?
Depends on the game, probably. Against aggro, against control, you want like Warlock, I guess. And against aggro, you know, Priest, Warrior, those have been pretty good for me. Help me win like the Hunter Mirrors. Mm-hmm. But it just depends.
This deck has no heal though, right? I feel like the live tap might hurt. Well, you have Reno, obviously, but outside of Reno, it's like pretty much half of Reno, and there's not much card draw here either.
Life tap helps with that.
Yeah, life tap does help with that though. Yeah.
I mean, you could play a heal bot, but like I said, the aggressive decks weren't the hard part. The hard part was the control decks. So I don't want more heal bots.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, Reno Hunter. That was like I think the biggest challenge, or like that was the hardest class to make Reno work. So this is pretty cool.
It's a starting point. I'll see if it ever ends up being a thing. I think at the end of the day, like Reno Warlock will be the only real. It'll be like the most competitive Reno deck, but definitely an interesting card.
Okay, I mean, we saw Reno Paladin a little bit, right, at the Celestial tournament. You don't think that's going to be the? You don't think that's a possible class for Reno?
I mean, Reno just like heals you for a bunch of life, right? If you want to do that with Paladin, you can do that already. You know, you can just play like a heal bot, and then you get to play two of everything. I don't know. Yeah. The Reno Paladin list I tried had like, you know, two Chow, two Minibot, two Muster, but if you do that, then you just can't play a Reno on curve against aggressive decks where you need it to work on curve. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, then you're playing like less than two Minibots and less than two Musters, which is just like, it just feels like bad deck building to not play some of the most powerful cards in the game. So yeah, I feel like there's not really a place for it outside of Warlock. That's right. Just me though.
Orange, what do you think?
I feel like anytime you try to get like at this point I feel like anytime you try to get cute with Paladin, like you try anything, you try Reno Paladin, like you could just do that better with the midrange Paladin is how I feel about it. Like sure, deck might be good or playable or whatever, like it might win games, but you would probably win a lot more if you just played midrange Paladin, or well, even like secret Paladin, but that's like a more aggressive type of deck. So yeah, I'm not saying that midrange Paladin is Reno Paladin is bad, but I think that just like if you want to win, if your goal is to win as many games as possible, I think you'd do that better with midrange.
I think like it's true with a lot of the new decks is they're decent and they work and they'll have like a 55% win rate, but then if you just play like the old version of it, it's like 65% win rate. It's like a bit better.
That's a bummer. That's kind of what we're hoping won't happen, right? After this period of people, you know, trying to deck tech and things like that.
I mean, we are seeing like Face Shaman and other decks like rising up from, like, Reno Lock was not a thing before League of Explorers. So there are definitely new decks that are actually good that's rising up. But there's also, you have to be able to like sift between the good ones and the just cute ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Given the formats too, like I mean the tournament formats too, you can only choose one of each class, right? Yeah. Typically, so we'll have the same issue of just, you know, how do these compare against the old decks? And like you guys said, the old decks seem to still be a better winning percentage. All right, let's see. Is there another deck that we wanted to take a look at here? I think that's going to be it for at least the deck tech portion. I do have a couple Tank My Deck from viewers that are in fans that I figured we would take a look at. So
Tank My Deck.
Let's bring these up. And we have, oh, speaking of which, a Reno Paladin to start off with. So this Reno Paladin is from Reno Fox. That's the name of the viewer. And this deck is like, it's got hobgoblins in it. It's got a little bit of everything in it. So I guess we should give him some advice on how to improve this. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Tink My Deck segment, we take a look at a viewer's deck and we try to give some advice on how to improve it while keeping the same theme, you know, not completely changing it to basically a mid-range paladin or anything like that. So so Hobgoblin, let's just, I guess, start with that premise and then work from there with the rest of it, you know, with the Reno, obviously, theme too.
Feel like playing a Hobgoblin deck with only one Hobgoblin and no card draw is like a little bit ambitious, but we'll try to make it work. What card is he like missing right away? Is like, if you want to play Hobgoblin and just a good aggro card, like you should probably fit a Haunted Creeper in there.
Yeah,
that card, like instead of something like Angry Shaken or Stonestone Gargoyle, there are like some of the less powerful cards in the deck. Other than that, I want to add like some, I think Tyrion should be in the deck just as a, like, it's very important in Reno decks that like your cards are individually very powerful, and you might want Tyrion just for that reason. And also, like, I think we could get rid of some of the bad one power minions like Angry Chicken and the Stone Skin Gargoyle, for example, and Muggish and Warden. I don't think they really fit in the deck.
Those cards only do stuff when you get the Hobgoblin, which you're not going to have every game. The three I would take out are Narrowbar Weblord, Angry Chicken, and Stone Skin, and then you replace them with Haunted Creeper, Tyrion, and something that is high impact because the curve is too low.
A Lay on Hands?
Yeah. I mean, there's
It doesn't really fit the aggro team.
But like then again, it's had. I'll do
a low fib, yeah. That's a good one.
I guess you want. Oh, go ahead. You want a low curve for Divine Favor, sort of, but yeah, that's fine.
I wouldn't mind seeing like a Sword of Justice in this thing either, just because. Okay. I mean, you don't think so?
That card gets worse every time there's an expansion because it's like 5/5 worth of stats dragged out over several turns, but then like, not good enough anymore. Too slow because you sacrifice board the turn you play it, and then you're only getting like slightly better than a Blackwing Technician after like five dudes have been played, and it like has anti-synergy with Muster and True Silver. It's just like all these little things make Sword of Justice just like a little bit too weak, basically. And I don't know if it, I'm just going to assume it works with Hobgoblin. I don't think it matters when deciding whether to put it in the deck or not, but yeah, the Sword of Justice is just like one of my favorite cards in beta, and every time they make new minions, it gets worse.
Yeah,
the Sword of Justice stats stay the same, and every other minion gets better. Piloted Shredder would be the card I'd play. There we go.
Piloted Shredder. Okay. Yeah. Solid.
Also, Gadgets and Youster might be a card you want to play. I think it works with Hobgoblin if you win the Youst, but I'm not sure. I will assume it just works. And then that's a pretty good one drop. Like, better than, Angry Chicken, at least.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's some other one twos that are better. I think some the one two mech. The one that's plus one.
Oh, Micro Machine.
Micro Machine, I think, is a decent one too. If they, that's going to be better than Angry Chicken and Web Lord and things like that. But definitely interesting for sure. Actually, Jeeves, he has Jeeves in the deck too. I guess that's a card draw that he has.
The deck is not that bad.
Yeah.
Once you move past like the three weaker cards, this is passable.
What do you think about the secrets? Like, do you think can he use Redemption and Repentance?
I think
Mr. Challenger in there.
I guess he does. Yeah,
I like the secrets.
You do like it?
Okay. I like the secrets.
Yeah, I guess he has the three main ones. Oh, the Avenge too. Yeah, he has four of them. What am I talking about? Okay.
The direction I've been taking with my Secret Paladin lists is that, like, I've cut down to, like, actually just one of the secrets. I'm not playing a Repentance, but I'm just playing, like, one Avenge, one Competitive Spirit, one Noble Sacrifice, and one Redemption anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, sure, he showed down on Mr. Chanter because of Reno, but I definitely think that's, like, a reasonable thing to have in deck if you're going the Reno route, because you don't need more than one of every secret.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a very powerful card on its own, which is pretty good in Reno decks.
Okay, yeah, so take a look at those cards, Reno Fox, and maybe swap them out and let us know actually how it goes. We haven't had anybody come back and tell us that they've changed the decks and how they've done. So that would be pretty cool if you guys give us some feedback on, if it's helped you guys out or not. Next deck that we have is Greg Innes, and it's a Dragon Warlock. So we had a Dragon Warlock last week too, I believe, but this one's a lot closer to, I guess, what we see in maybe a Malagus Warlock, but instead of using Malagus, it looks like he uses Chromagus and Nefarian at the end. What do you guys think? There's actually a Crusher in this deck too. Interesting.
Dragon decks are amazing right now, and this one, late game, basically, you have to compare it to, like, a Malagos deck. Is it better or worse than a Malagos finish? Maybe. The thing I like about Malagos is that it just kills them. Like, the turn you play it a lot of time, if you have one Soulfire, or you ended up Emperor Thorisening your Dark Bomb. but if it... Malagos is also, like, harder to kill than Nefarian, so I don't know. I'm just a really big fan of that finish. But if you want to use Chromagus Nefarian instead, that works too. What I would do is swap the Crusher out for an Emperor Thorsen. Like, the big change I'd make.
Yeah, that'd definitely be... That would make sense for sure. What about you, Orange?
I would probably... there's two changes I want to make to this deck. One is to add the second Blackwing Corruptor. Blackwing Corruptor is, like, one of the big reasons to play Dragons in the first place, and just one of the most powerful cards in Dragon decks. So I would definitely add a second one of those. Probably cut... the Crusher. And the other change I want to make is he added the Sunfury Protector there for some needed taunt, but also I like the Fender of Argus a lot more for that in this type of deck because it synergizes so well with Imp Gang Boss. And also just like in some cases you just need your Twilight Ray to kill a Lofeb and stuff like that. So I like the Fender of Argus a slightly bit more than Sunfury Protector. When we're not playing Molten Giants or anything like that. As I said, I also think I prefer the Malagos finish, but if he doesn't want to go that route, like, I don't blame him. There's definitely interesting stuff you can do with this type of deck, too.
Nefarian, you can get some cool draws, too, from your opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. You just get Sacrificial Pact and kill the Araxes in the mirror and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
It's some good value in a deck that already grinds a lot of people out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the... Like, how you win the Warrior Control matchup, for example. Like, since the addition of Jessica Trueheart to Control Warrior, you barely can burst them down with Malagos, and then you just try to outvalue them, and Chromagus and Nefarian, like, fits perfectly into that type of plan. So, definitely improves the matchup in that sense. But yeah, second Blackwing Corruptor, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I'd replace Sunfury with Defender of Argus. Other than that, I think this looks pretty good.
What do you think about Chill Maul these days? We were definitely seeing less and less Chill Maul in Dragon decks in the last expansion, really.
Yeah, Shima seems like sounds like a very good addition to this deck. You don't have a lot of minions that just dies to Shima, and you can actually just cut one of... I think you can cut the Shadow Flame for a Shima. It, like, provides with another sweeper of some sort, but also just is another threat by itself. So, yeah, I like the Shima addition instead of Shadow Flame, too. Good idea.
Yeah. Looks like a strong deck, though. I'm sure he's doing actually pretty well, even with this deck right here. So, yeah. Little tweaks. I can see this deck getting really, really high.
Yeah, this deck could definitely go a long way on ladder, I think, with some tweaks.
I was just asking Orange, like, what he thought about Chilmol. Because you mentioned you like Chilmol, like, a few weeks ago, right? In Dragon decks?
Yeah, I don't know, man. The card seems good, and I keep putting it in... I've been playing a lot of Dragon decks lately. I actually think the card's, like, strong. I see a lot of people cutting it, and I don't know. I feel like there's this meeting that happened without me where everyone just decided that, like, Shilma is not good enough for Dragon decks because no one else is playing it. I'm just confused.
It was a secret meeting.
I don't know. It seems good enough to me still, you know? I think people just are, like, looking for a card to cut, and they're taking it out. I definitely don't think it's an easy decision to cut it. The card is, like, pretty good. I definitely think it would be maybe not better than Chromagus. You kind of need Chromagus in this deck to win, but better than, like, Boom, probably.
I was suggesting just cutting, like, a Shadow Flame for it. Like, you cannot use Shadow Flame a lot earlier than turn 7 anyway.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. All right, well, for Greg, yeah, I was just on Orange.
Oh, one more thing. I actually sure. you're playing double BJH. You probably want an abuser there to support him. To, like, in matchups where they don't have a lot of BJH targets, like, you can use a BJH their low fib, for example, for, like, huge tempo stuff like that. I think that one abuser certain would make sense in this deck too.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of,
yeah, that's a good point.
Something. Also, synergize with Brand Bronze Beard. Yeah, that's all.
Yep, Greg. Well, hopefully that'll help you out. I think this deck's already pretty solid, and it should be got pretty high with this deck, with the little tweaks that we just talked about. But let's kind of move on to viewer Q&A here. We've got a few questions from the viewers, and for those of you that do have more questions, go ahead and post your questions in the comments, actually, for this post right here. But first question comes from Christopher Ryan Carter. It says, Raynad, how do you respond to the criticism that Templestorm received for placing Aggro Shaman at the top of Tier 1, while other rankings only placed it top tier at best? Also, thanks, Raynad, for being my favorite streamer since closed beta.
Oh, problem, dude. I don't know. It's weird that they, like... I don't know. I played the deck on stream and I really liked it. And the first day I played it, I'm like, this is probably the best ladder deck. And then for the first time in 40 weeks of the snapshot existing, the snapshot, like, agreed with what I thought was the best deck. And all of a sudden people are saying, like, oh, it's just because Raynad, like, owns Tempo Storm. It's like, no, it's just because I'm, like, a competent player that, like, understands what's good on ladder, and a deck that's taken that many people to top 10 legend and is just that consistent is pretty damn good. I don't know. I mean, people are just going to complain about any kind of subjective ranking list. I mean, you can look at, like, any video game review or anything. Like, the comment section's always cancer. So if people want to complain about it, they can. But I honestly have zero input on the meta snapshot. Yeah, I think like half of them don't even like me, half the people that are on it. So
I don't think people realize that, or some people don't realize that in the community, that the meta snapshot is a completely separate thing from you. So them coming in with the same conclusion is more of something that should be brought to that group of guys and to see.
Yeah. But I mean, fun fact, the meta snapshot was actually started by Magic Amy, who is the same person that these, like, idiots complaining about Reddit, you know, shamed out of the community with no proof. So yeah, like, at the end of the day, fuck Reddit, basically. That's my synopsis.
Jordan McKay from University of Michigan for the last week. I've been playing Forsen's Mech Mage list on Ladder, and it's been a huge success for me. Where do you think Mech Mage fits in this metagame? Do you think that Gorillabot is a constructed worthy card? Warren, I'll let you take this one.
I don't know exactly what Forsen's Mech Mage list I have to admit. I don't really know what it looks like, but I played against a bunch of Mech Mage lately. I don't think the deck is all that bad, but I don't think it's very good in the moment either. It struggles like a lot against the Phase Shaman, which I think is a deck you want to be pretty good against at the moment. It has these like Mech Warper is a very powerful card against them because it allows you to just like overwhelm them very early against a deck that doesn't have any sweepers. But other than that, like the deck can be a little bit too slow and just lose to like the burst damage that comes down on like turn 7 or 8 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that Gorillabot is a card suited for like a slower meta. Like right now, I don't think you can afford to play a 3/4 for 4 mana that not only just like it trades with the first half of a Shredder, but also it requires you to have another mech in play, which, well, it sounds like a mech deck should always have a mech in play, but that's just like on paper. Like in practice, like that doesn't always happen. Like, there's a lot of times where you're just, like, calling out a Shredder on an empty board in that deck. And having the Gorillabot, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of the card. Also, like, but if we see, like, a lot of midrange druid, like, getting popular again because it's a good counter to Phase Shaman, I think that we could very likely see Mech Mage doing a bit of a comeback. I know that Firebat has, is a big fan of Mech Mage, and He will definitely try it. Like, if he thinks that it will be good anytime soon, he will definitely try it out. So I don't think that right now is a good time to play Mech Mage, but I can definitely see it becoming, like, a really good deck on Ladder soon. But right now, not really.
Ray?
I streamed it a lot last week and played it for, like, 2 streams in a row for a lot of hours, actually, lately. And it's been decent. I think Gorillabot's just, like, worse than Azurdrake in every way. I would pretty much never play the card in Mech Mage. There's just no room. But I do think Mech Mage is a pretty solid deck. It's a good ladder deck, very proactive, good against other aggro decks. I actually think it's very good against Mech Shaman. If they lose the board, they like don't have the time to burn you out, basically, because unlike Control, the Mech Mage deck, like, not only stops taking the minion damage, but it also puts a very fast clock on them, which they just can't kill you through. They just don't have the mana to play their burn, basically, because of overload before you kill them. So I think Mech Mage is a pretty solid deck right now, and it's one that I would definitely not feel bad taking to a tournament. I don't think it's like broken or anything by any means, but it's just like a very solid high win percentage deck with a lot of good matchups right now.
Okay, cool. Leo Cladart from France. What do you think is the card that'll stand out for the next wing? And what has been your favorite card in the expansion so far, and why? So let's take a look at the cards.
Yeah, I need to see new cards. I just know one or two cards, actually.
Let me send you this page at least. You can take a look at the Hall of Explorers, which is coming out tomorrow. And we got cards like Fossil Devil Soar, Raven Idol, Curse Blade, Museum Curator, which we've talked about a little bit. Arch Thief from Elise, right? The next hero or the next explorer, basically. And then Tomb Pillager, Animated Armor, Desert Camel, Eerie Statue. Oh, you can see the list here. Actually, everybody that's watching. So we've talked about Museum Curator, at least just being that 2-drop for priests, which is really cool. Is that any other cards you guys are, or any other cards worth pointing out? At least Ray, and then Orange, like any cards that really stand out for you?
Yeah, this is an important wing. These are like cards that actually change things. So I think Elise Starseeker. Well, Elise Starseeker is my favorite card of the set, and I'm gonna do a set review like today probably and record it. But it's gonna change a lot. It's going to change the whole fatigue archetype. I mean, at least Starseeker will, like, has a potential to change. I'm pretty sure it will just change control for a long time to come. It's very...
It's going to be exciting to see it. I can't wait
I think Cursed Blade is very, very good, too. That's going to single-handedly make... Like, that's going to do to Aggro Warrior what Tunnel Trog did to Aggro Shaman, which is, you know, make it a real deck. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think Raven Idol has the potential to be very good as well. It's a card that's like... What was the question? Just what's my favorite card? I don't want to do a whole... Like,
yeah, basically. What's your... So what impact do you think Elise will have? And...
I think it'll just change the control archetype and fatigue archetype. Like, it's the only card in the game that allows you to build a deck with like 29 removal spells and an Elise and have it still win the game, because there's no counterplay to it. Like, there's no way to stop it from doing its thing. And something like Ysera, if you were to play 29 removal spells on Ysera, like, the Ysera is not enough to win the game. They'll just silence it or kill it. But
yeah.
It does give you inevitability in one card, which is huge. You don't have to play win conditions anymore.
And the other part of the question was just what's your favorite card so far in everything that's come out? If you were to pick one card, favorite card.
I don't know, man. I guess I'd say Elise, still my favorite card, but I haven't played with it yet, so it's tough to say, right? If the card's currently released, I guess Tunnel Trog, because it made Shaman, you know, like the best ladder deck from the worst ladder deck. It's a pretty big jump.
Okay.
It shows how big one card change can be. And I also really like Museum Curator, because it'll probably be another 4 or 5 years until we see another Priest 2 drops. Take the 2-mana 1/2 OP stats for now.
Exactly. All right, Orange, what card are you looking forward to this coming release, and then what's your favorite card over?
Yeah, this new wing is really good. I hadn't actually looked through like all the cards coming out this week, but God, yeah, this wing is stacked. Like, I'm excited for the card I'm probably most excited for this. This wing is actually a Museum Curator. I think that I was talking a lot with Set-A-Lot during DreamHack, and the things that, like, now with Entomb last week and Museum Curator this week, like, the deck, like, Priest is going to be a real contender again, like Control Priest or Midrange Priest or something like that.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I hope so, because, well, Dragon Priest is fun and all, but it's a bit inconsistent. I mean, I don't have hope that Control Priest is going to be, like, as consistent as other decks, but just Control Priest can be a real deck in the meta, like, that would make me very happy. And I think Museum Curator, like, as a 2-drop, like, the Death Rattle cards are very strong.
Yeah.
I definitely think this might put Priest back on the map, and that's what has me the most excited for this week. Also, I'm like, Desert Camel, I think, might be a good card. In Hunter, of course, and
really, you like that card? Okay.
I think so. I haven't played with it yet, so it might turn out that it's like really, really bad. But I'm excited for like mid-range Hunter to pull out a Web Spinner from my deck, and especially against like there are not a lot of decks that plays 1-drops. Sure. I mean, there's a lot of Sombish House, and that might be like the problem this card has, but like in Midrange Hunter, pulling out a Web Spinner and following that up with a Houndmaster and either of these two feels like a very strong thing to me. But I'm not convinced that's going to be good, but I'm excited to try it out. Also, I want to see if like the point you just made about Elise definitely struck me as that might be something that might be very good, but if not, like Arc Thief, like the new legendary, I'm not convinced that card is not good. Like, I think it might replace Ysera or cards like that in non-dragon decks as a win condition, because all the free spells are like very, very powerful, and even if they BJH this, like, you still have this spell that you can use, that all three of them are like very powerful effects, and I'm excited to see if that has an impact on the meta game, but
yeah, you get to choose, right? You get to, it's a discover.
yeah, exactly. You get back, so. That you get to choose out of the three of them is like even more awesome.
What are they, are they listed somewhere?
Yeah, let me
think. Yeah,
so they should be down there somewhere.
They're all three of them are 10 mana. Like one gives +10/+10 to a minion. That's, in my opinion, the weakest one.
Yeah.
Then there's Avenging Wrath for 10. For 10 mana, like ten damage divided.
So you take Avenging Wrath if you're behind, and you take the zombies if you're ahead.
Yeah, the zombies are crazy. And fill the board with 3/3s. Yeah.
Exactly, and then there's fill the board with zombies. That's what I mean. Like, if they BJH or Arc Thief, you just make 7 free-frees. And
oh, they made a spell that makes everyone get in here. That's cool.
Really.
Yeah,
3/3s are good.
I hope they say something like that when they come into play. Probably not.
In a zombie voice or something. That would be funny.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd definitely be cool. I mean, obviously, it's a turn. It's the next turn because it is 10 mana too. It's like your entire turn. So, but it is cool that you can choose which one to possibly finish. It has to be a finishing move, for the most part. Otherwise, it's pretty slow. It's cool though. I'd love to see people playing it, like in competitions and things. That'd be awesome. But what's your favorite card overall in League?
Overall, I think my favorite card in the entire set has to be Keeper of Uldaman. I think that card is very strong. Yeah, Uldaman. However you pronounce it. I really, really like that card. I think it's one of the stronger cards that Paladin has gotten in a very long time. And it's so versatile and you can do so much stuff with it. I really, really like that card.
Yeah, we were just talking before the show. Like, I feel like we cast it more on our own minions than we do on our opponent's minions.
Well, I love going Muster for battle on 3 and then
making
myself a 3/3 on turn 4.
It's funny. You like the card? Ray?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I think Starseeker is still my favorite card, but I like a lot of the cards in this expansion. Expansion overall is very good.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't wait.
I'm excited.
I get a monkey, man. That's gonna be the dream.
I'm excited to just curse blade people day one, man.
Curse blade.
Maybe the first deck I play. Yeah, turn one curse blade. Get in there.
Okay.
Just bash every single turn until ladder's just awful. Just, I don't know. Like,
are you gonna cut everyone? Any of the other, are you gonna cut it? Are you gonna cut any of the other weapons or?
Play two of all of them that cost 1 through 5, except for King's Defender.
That would be sweet. Arms.
I don't know. Everyone looks to the new wing with like this sense of wonderment and joy, and I just want to take that away from them. You know?
Oh gosh! Wow.
Like day one, I just Gorkron Elite Face, Mortal Strike. It's gonna be beautiful.
Oh my god.
Oh man, the charge arms warrior. That's always the dream for the warrior.
I'm gonna look silly with my museum curators trying to bring justice to ladder.
Right. Ray just starts curse blading you and war axing you and ogre mauling you.
Well, at least I have this one too.
That's right. Okay, next question. Let's see. The Elise question was kind of a combination of GP list arts here. Do you think Elise is going to be a decent fit in zoo decks as a finisher when you start running out of steam? Would you run Elise in a zoo deck?
Nope. It only works in like I'll call them fatigue decks, even though they never win with fatigue anymore. That's what it's for.
Okay.
But I wouldn't play it in anything aggressive, no.
Okay. Nicholas Leriviere from Kernel Developer of how important do you think class and archetype balances to the game? Would Hearthstone be better off if all 9 classes all had viable aggro, mid-range, control, combo, and tempo decks, giving us 45 options in play, or would the metagame always end up pushing a subset of decks to tier 1? Well, It'd be pretty awesome. I mean, I think if every single class had choices like that, given that the events, I think all the event structures, right, all have to deal with, or at least a lot of the ones that we've played, all limit us to one deck per class. So we just have more variety, I guess, picking between them.
I mean, one of the things that I think is exciting about Hearthstone is that, like, how every class is unique and does its own thing, giving every class access, like, building, like, viable decks for all archetypes and all different classes would take away that a lot and would make the game a lot less exciting, to me at least. I don't know. I don't think that's a thing I want in Hearthstone, but...
Well, I mean, that's assuming that, like, every aggro deck kind of looks the same. I mean, I think the class, the things that are specific to the class do make the aggro decks a little bit different, right? Like, the hunter, right? It's going to be all face versus, I don't know, like a priest, right? If they're going aggro, it's probably something to do with, possibly to do with, like, shadow or that sort of thing. And the specific priest cards that deal with that, right? So, I mean, they're not identical, right? There's not going to be, like, a face deck for every single class.
Isn't this what he's asking for, though?
Well, he's just asking general, I think, archetypes, right? Just aggro. If there was just a viable aggro mid-range control and combo deck for every single class.
I don't know. I feel like that would be hard to do without taking away some of, like, the unique feelings of every class, so I'm skeptical to the idea, but that's all I have to say, really.
What do you think, Ray?
Well, I mean, I think Gorin's pretty much covered it. Like, I agree with that. And...
Okay. Right now, we only have, like, what, one... Well, I guess no class really has every single type of archetype possible, right?
Yeah, it's... I mean, warrior, kind of. It's, I mean, the...
Yeah.
The best decks just kind of have, like, the best cards. And they, it allows them to play different archetypes when you have that many good cards available. So, like, you know, Paladin has so many good cards so that you can play, like, an aggressive mid-range or controlling version of it. Same thing with warrior, same thing with druid. Weaker class, like, priests just don't have good... like as many good cards, so you can't really build a good, like, aggro priest deck.
Yeah.
So, okay. How I feel about it.
Yeah. Peace Allen, what do you think of Fatigue Priest? Have you tried it? I know Raynad said Entombed would be useful for the deck.
Entombed turns out is good for every priest deck, not just Fatigue, but yeah, Fatigue is not bad. I don't know if it's as good as Dragon, though. I think Dragon Priest is probably better.
Yeah. What do you think, Orange? You played Fatigue Priest?
Not played Fatigue Priest. I actually don't really know. I've been playing instead of lots of Control Priest, which I guess is, like, I don't know if Fatigue Priest looks a lot different than that. Yes, that deck doesn't really run a lot of win conditions, but either way, like, I've been trying a lot of priests, and, like, every single time you just come back to that Dragon Priest feels, like, a lot better than the other priest decks. So, I don't know. Maybe Museum, like, Entomb is definitely, like, at its best in that deck, but I think Entomb is just a good enough card in, like, almost any sort of priest deck.
Okay, let's see. I think that's going to be it for the questions. So, you know, everybody, thanks for writing in for Q&A today. Actually, there's one more. Antonio Cravira, okay, says, nowadays, when you face Warlock, sometimes you can't tell what you are playing against until you die to Arcane Golem. Even in tournaments, people often steal games by cheesing out their opponent. Do you think it's good for the game to have so many archetypes viable?
Yeah.
I
like it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing that you're able to take people by surprise. Like that shows that you... Like, when people get cheesed out by Arcane Golem, that means that, like, when the one that's playing their Arcane Golem Warlocks, like, plays the deck, that means that he wanted to, like, take people by surprise. He didn't want people to expect that, and that just rewards, like, good deck building and good planning on his part. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think that's like the opposite. I think that's a very good thing, like rewards preparation and deck building.
It's just a strategic aspect to it, you know, and especially going into a tournament. Right? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's any more fun losing to things when it's predictable. Like, losing is just going to be annoying no matter what. But I think, I like having more types of archetypes be viable and stuff. I think no matter what, no matter how many cards are in the game, there's always going to be like four-ish decks that are just kind of better than everything else by like 5%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it looks like a lot of archetypes now, but people will be complaining about the same three or four decks in tournaments after a few months of this metagame settling. But yeah, it's cool to see so many like different viable, like tier two decks, basically, that you can bring out at any point in time and do well with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be the last question, guys. So I think that's going to be it for the show, guys. Why don't we wrap up the show? Been nice having you on here, Orange, getting a chance to talk about cards and decks. And one last wing coming out this week, and then we'll wrap League of Explorers up, at least for another few months, you know, until the next expansion comes out. But overall, yeah, this I feel like this expansion has been great, and this upcoming one should be a really fantastic conclusion to it with some key cards. But Orange, yeah, you want to do some shout outs before we go here?
I guess, like, shout out to Tempestorm, to you two guys for having me. It's been a lot of fun. It's really fun to, like, actually get to talk about things instead of just sitting quiet, like, playing tournaments and stuff. You know, I was nice for a change. So thanks to you guys in Tempestorm for having me. Shout out to my team, Team Arkham, I guess. That's pretty much all I got.
Very cool. Ray?
I got nothing, man. Shout out to you, Chris, for running a good show.
Yeah.
Shout out to Museum Curator. When did Hearthstone come out? 2013?
Yep, 2013.
We got an unconditional two drop. Yeah. We got an unconditional.
Yeah. So that's the first two drop for PCF in 2 years, yeah. Hopefully we'll see another one very, very soon, but Curator should be pretty amazing. Priest with two Sylvanases, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I can't wait for, just to be able to play some Control Priest like that. But yeah, I'll round the things out by thanking you guys for doing the show with me. It's always great doing it with you each and every week, Ray, and then Orange, having you on. We'll have to have you on again when he
has
some more cool decks and cards to talk about. Also, thanks to the viewers for tuning in today. I know there's a lot going on with just Star Ladder and things like that. But thanks for watching, and the VODs will be on youtube.com/ChanManV as always. And then the audios will be on iTunes just tomorrow, which you can find by search for Hearthstone, and then you can see Value Town there. So that's usually the best way. So SEO wise, we can get higher from the standpoint of Hearthstone podcasts. And also, I just want to remind folks that tomorrow, or not next week, that we're going to have a holiday episode, which is going to be lots of fun. We're going to just try to have as much interaction with you guys. So we'll probably be building decks too for you guys to try out and hanging out, talking about the 2015 Hearthstone and giveaways. All that good stuff with a member of Team 5, and hopefully another guest too, another player guest too with me and Ray. So definitely tune into that. Follow us on Twitter so that you can kind of keep track when that's going to happen. And lastly, we have a Patreon for Value Town. You can go to patreon.com/ValueTown. Check it out. It's a great way to support the show and to keep things going. Lots of great milestones or rewards. Still trying to reach our first milestone, actually. So check that out. See if that's something you're interested in, because that'd be awesome. And lastly, I want to thank Tempestorm for sponsoring the show, and obviously the sponsors there for Tempestorm, G2A, and Twitch here. Without that, definitely the show wouldn't be possible. So big thanks to Ray and Tempestorm for that. But that's going to be it for Value Town. So for Orange, Raynad, and myself, ChanManV, we'll see you next time. Later.